It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Well, welcome to my podcast.
Thanks.
Today's guest is Nick Loffrey, not Loafrey.
Yes.
Okay.
They called me Loafrey in high school because I was very lazy. So I was like a loaf of bread just sitting there.
When you say you're very lazy, does that like lean into your yoga tendencies?
I'm not lazy anymore, but I was very lazy in high school because I was high all the time.
Oh, okay. I can relate. Yeah. Wow. Already finding common ground.
Yeah.
So basically, Jason Allen Carr, my good friend, he messaged me one morning and he was like, oh my gosh, you need to have this man on your podcast. He follows you online. And he's like, I already reached out to him and he said he would do it. I think he was speaking to your wife, Charity. I don't know who he messaged, but I was like, all right. So he sent me your contact info and I'm so glad that you agreed to come on. But that's the thing. I also literally know nothing about you. So please introduce yourself to me, introduce yourself to the listeners. And thank you so much for coming on my little podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks. I didn't meet your friend, but he saw me at a comedy show. We were at a comedy show, and I guess he recognized me because I have a YouTube channel where I teach mostly Qigong, which is kind of like a Chinese version of yoga movement. It's kind of like Tai Chi a lot. And he recognized me from that, and then he reached out to me and whatnot. But, so I got into YouTube from the pandemic. I was teaching in person like everybody else, going to all the yoga studios and everything in Santa Cruz, California, and Silicon Valley. And the pandemic hit, and everybody was like, all right, when are you going to do Zoom classes? And I was like, okay, I'll put a class on Zoom. And all of a sudden, all my students who would come to, you know, I teach classes all over town, and I'd spend all day trying to get to all these people. And now all of them came to me for an hour every morning, and now my whole rest of my day was free. So I was like, wow, what do I want to do with all this free time? So I just put it into YouTube, and that went pretty well. So I had nothing really tying me down, so I've just been kind of living wherever. So I've been in Idaho for a while, and I'm moving to Japan with my wife, Charity, who grew up in Okinawa in October. And, I got into Qigong and yoga, actually, too, because I had schizophrenia when I was, like, 17. And I had to find a way to fix it myself, it felt like, because the system that I'd been given was just, here, take this pill and then come in and just let us, like, weigh you and do blood tests and make sure the pills aren't killing you. I didn't really find, like, anything, like, nobody's really accepting that there was something psychological to the schizophrenia and it wasn't just chemical imbalance. I had to kind of do the psychological part myself and got into yoga and meditation and eventually Qigong and whatnot. And
that's a very heavy diagnosis to receive at such a, like, pivotal age.
That's usually when people get it, is late teens.
Do you mind me asking, like, how did you know something was off and that you needed to get some help?
Well, ironically, I got really stoned one afternoon after school. I was kind of trying to self-medicate because I was going through so much paranoia and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if I just smoke enough weed, I bet I can just kick whatever this is out of me. And the weed made it way worse because one of the side effects of weed is paranoia. So I had paranoid psychosis, and that just added to that. And it was literally while I was high, I was like, wait, are these things I'm paranoid about real or do I have schizophrenia? And I didn't know which was worse because I was like, schizophrenia, like that sounds even worse than all the weird supernatural stuff I'm paranoid about.
Oh, wow.
I don't know which would be better, but that's when I kind of opened my mind to the fact I might be going crazy. And then I'd been skipping school a lot, and my parents finally figured out I was skipping school. And they're like, why are you skipping school? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm psychic or a schizophrenic. I have all these weird thoughts. I hear everybody's thoughts in my head all the time and blah, blah, blah. And so my mom's just like, you're schizophrenic. Let me take you to the mental hospital. And
does it run in your family? There. So they knew to watch out for it?
Nah, I didn't have it. Nobody in my family.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
I just did a lot of drugs, and I had a couple head injuries and just some weird experiences and stuff. And yeah.
Okay, so your mom got you checked out, and you're discovering medications to help. And then you started to lean into yoga and Qigong. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, Qigong came a little later. Yoga is what got me off the psychiatric medications. or my first yoga class I went to, I was like rolling my eyes when I was gone. I was like, there's no way this is going to be great. Like, I just,
there's no way this is going to be
the only
great.
Person I knew who did yoga was my mom. So I was just imagining like a bunch of like middle-aged ladies, like rolling around on the floor, like cats or something.
That's exactly how I imagined it as well.
Yeah. I think I went to like a level 2 Anusara class, which is like pretty hard. And I was very overweight from the antipsychotic meds have a lot of like physical side effects. So your mind starts to be a little better, but then everything in your body like falls apart. So I was like really obese and everything. And so I'm doing all these like body weight exercises in yoga, and my body weighs like 70 pounds more than usual. And I'm like shaking and sweating the whole time. But at the end, I felt so good. It was the most clear my mind had been in like years. I'd relaxed for the first time in like 8 months or something. And I just knew I was kind of hooked on it right away.
So how long were you practicing yoga before you were like, I'm going to do yoga teacher training?
Probably 5 years. Yeah, I used it for 2 years and got off the psych meds, and then spent another 2 years just practicing and kind of starting to figure out like, oh, maybe my diet is like screwing me up too. Like maybe McDonald's like 3 meals a day is like not helping my physical or mental health. And
did you see the documentary that came out a long time ago about the guy who ate McDonald's for every day for 30 days?
Yeah, Supersize Me.
Supersize Me.
Was it only 30 days?
It was only 30 days.
Wow.
And he like had some serious health complications.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
There's a similar book called Talks In, Talks Out, where they do the same experiment. I think it's like 6 months or a year or something, but they do everything they can to get as much toxins in their body as possible. So they eat the fast food and they put on all the non-organic like lotions and hair shampoos and everything. And they just fill their body with chemicals. And at the end they get all the blood tests, and then they spend through the next book. They spend a year seeing how to get all that out of their system.
I'm so intrigued. It's called Talks In, Talks Out.
Yeah. Like toxins.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to add that to my list. That's fascinating. Yeah. So when you started getting into yoga, did you find like a daily ritual of routine, or was this like a weekly thing? What was it for you that became like, okay, I have to do this X amount of times?
Yeah, I'm kind of a chaotic guy. So I kind of find things that I get hooked on, and then I just throw myself at them as much as I feel like it. And so I don't even remember how much I was doing it at the time, but it was probably at least 3 or 4 times a week. And mm-hmm. got really into like the power vinyasa kind of yoga, because it kind of felt like my mind was like a fishbowl. It was just big and open and transparent, and just everything was just going in and out of my mind. So I felt like anything that could just ground me in my body just seemed to feel really good. So the physical challenge of the chaturangas and everything just kind of rooted me back in reality.
So then you were working on your diet.
Yeah, and I think most diets I've tried made everything worse.
What?
Well, yeah, like keto made everything worse, and veganism made everything worse. And the things that really seemed to help were actually the really old things, like doing like working with an Ayurvedic doctor and getting like my doshas diagnosed, and medicine doctor.
Okay, what's your dosha?
I'm pretty like Vata Pitta, so
okay.
Everything just flies away and scatters.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I kind of need the grounding. Yeah, Chinese medicine is a really similar system. I'm sort of like a earth fire, but the earth means like a different thing in Chinese medicine.
And there's metal and wood instead of. Okay, so what is your like Ayurvedic foods that help you when you've got too much air and too much fire?
Yeah, mostly just meat.
So Atkins diet really helped you.
Well, with carbs, yeah. I just tend to need pretty stable blood sugar. So I tried doing like keto and intermittent fasting, and I spent like a year or two where I woke up every day and like just had the bulletproof coffee, you know, like the spoon of butter in my coffee.
Oh man.
And then ran to the gym, and I'd teach a Qigong class, and then I'd do like an hour of weightlifting, and then I'd drive home. So in all, I've gone like 5 hours without eating, and then like 2 hours of exercise. And I did that for like a year straight. And then I did keto all day the rest of the day. Did that for like a year straight, and all I did was like lose my hair and like go gray faster and like totally jack my adrenals and everything. So my body just really wants like give me lots of protein, lots of carbs, and just kind of keep it steady.
What are your favorite carbs?
I'm gonna get killed on this podcast. I really love sugar and fruit.
Okay, so like the whole food sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think sugar is like a healthy food. It's just very convenient sometimes. But for the most part, my digestion can be like not the greatest. So sometimes it's easier just to give it really easy things to digest, like just white rice or like a mango or something, you know, instead of being like, oh, eat whole grains and, you know.
What was your yoga teacher training like?
It was really good. I trained with this guy, Ian Finn, has a company called Blissology. He's very famous in Canada, but I can never find Americans who know him. But it was a really incredible training. But the problem that happened in the training was I didn't listen to anything I was being told. So the main point he was trying to push the whole time was like, hey, like yoga needs to be sustainable. Like don't push into things that hurt. Let's learn to differentiate between a stretching type pain that feels like it's benefiting you and a tearing, ripping type pain that's just ripping your joints apart. And I didn't listen to any of that because I was 22 and I was in a room full of 25 women and I'm like the only guy. And I'm like, oh, I better impress everybody. I just tried to do every pose like the best you could possibly
do.
What's
your sign?
What's my sign?
What's your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo. What's your birthday?
September 13th.
Okay, I'm the 19th. My boyfriend's is the 14th, so and he's triple Virgo.
You guys are close.
He's got a lot of Virgo going on. What's Charity's sign?
What are you? She's December 30th.
You don't know her sign?
Well, she's from Japan, so that's, I only know her
I was
zodiac.
Actually born in Japan, and so I like to say that I celebrate my birthday on the 18th and the 19th.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, December 30th. Charity, will you Google it and tell us what your sign is? Whoever's listening right now is probably yelling it. And they're like, I know it.
There's a year of the tiger, right?
Oh, she's handing the phone over.
Oh, it's Capricorn.
Capricorn. Okay. How long have you guys been married?
Only like 4 months.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. We haven't known each other much longer than that.
When you know, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're doing training at 22 and you're not being sustainable because you're 22 and you want to show off.
Yeah.
Okay. But when did you start getting into Qigong? Because that's like your main thing. Yeah.
So that's kind of why I got home from that yoga teacher training. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. And like, I'd really thrown everything at it. I actually dropped out of college and took my last semester of college tuition and put in a yoga teacher training.
I did the same thing.
Did you really? Wow.
Yes.
And then I get home from the teacher training and I'm like, all right, I threw everything at this, but now my knees don't work and my hips don't work. You know, I like really messed up a bunch of ligaments and everything. So I'm like, man, I can't even like demonstrate the poses. But luckily around that time, a martial arts teacher had like introduced me to Qigong and I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this Qigong thing. It's like a lot gentler and easier and stuff. And really like gave me what I kind of went to yoga originally to look for. Like I wasn't going to yoga to get like a six pack, although eventually it was like, oh wow, yoga is such a good workout. And that kind of can like override a lot of why you originally get into it. But Qigong is kind of just straight to the point. Like psychologically, it's like, here's these exercises. They're good for anxiety or for depression or for whatever.
Well, typically in the Western world, most people jump into yoga. I teach hot yoga, so hot yoga, because they're like, well, I want to sweat. I want to work out.
Right.
And I want the physical benefits.
Yeah, it's nice. It gives you both.
And then the other benefits show up in time.
Right.
And so it's really interesting for me to hear you say, like, I was going for psychological benefits. And
right.
For me, too, when I discovered yoga, a friend was just like, come to class with me. And I felt such peace. Mm-hmm. I kept chasing the Shavasana, chasing
right.
that peace. And then when people started commenting on how my body was changing, I was super offended because I didn't know that my body needed to change. But
right.
I'm getting all these compliments like, wow, you look like you've lost weight. You look fit. And I'm like, well, how dare you? I'm just going because it's nice for my mind.
Yeah.
But then I was just like, oh, yeah, there's multiple benefits that I've discovered over time.
Right. Yeah. I think it's great. I mean, people complain about that all the time. Like, oh, the West has ruined yoga. They've made it all about fitness. But I think it's like it meets people where they're at. Most people are just
nailed it.
Want the vanity part, and they come in and they like feel better with their stress too. And that seems fine.
Whatever reason you want to come, like you're welcome to come. You're welcome to do it in your living room, on YouTube, or whatever.
Yeah.
So you meet this martial artist guy. He shows you Qigong.
Yeah, well, he actually sent me a YouTube video of
Great.
Another guy doing Qigong who lived in California. So I did Qigong at home for a couple of years and just like work construction and stuff. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to make something out of this. So I went to California to do like a 2-week workshop. I'm from Toronto, so all the early parts of the story in Toronto. So I pack up, I go to California to do a 2-week teacher training, and I'm like, whoa, this place is so cool. How do I move here? My mom was born and raised in Ohio, so I call the U.S. embassy, and they're like, yeah, whatever, just come in. You're an American. I was like, oh, it's news to me. I didn't know that. Cool. So got my passport and moved to California, and I really had no plan. I didn't know what I was going to do for work or anything, but the day I got there, I went to see this Qigong teacher, and he's like, hey, my assistant's moving to New York. I need a new assistant. You want to learn Qigong? You're like 24, so you're probably going to be good at computers and social media and stuff. So yeah. Do you want to work for me? And I was like, wow, this is divine.
Yeah, what do they call that? Universe. Like serendipity?
Synchronicity, I think.
Synchronicity. Yeah. That's incredible. So yeah. Move there for that. And he's like, come be my apprentice. Come work for me.
Yeah, basically. It turned into like a 3-year internship. And not just training with him. Like he'd bring in like really weird Qigong masters that would come through and be like guest teachers. So we had a guy. I'm from China, and in China, he pretends he's a dentist because the Chinese government's very weird about Qigong, so he's worried about getting kidnapped. It was actually illegal in China for, like, 50 years in the 20th century.
Why?
The communists, like, didn't like anything traditional or religious, so when the communist government took over, they're like, oh, like, you know, nothing can be above the government, and so if you think, like, God is above the government or, like, Buddha is above the government or anything, like, that's got to go, you know?
That breaks my heart.
So they actually lost a lot of their culture. A lot of people who want to learn, like, traditional Qigong and stuff like that now, they go to Taiwan or Indonesia or places where a lot of the Qigong masters had to flee from China to live in other parts of Southeast Asia.
Amazing.
Yeah. But, so we bring this guy over. He's an undercover dentist in China, and when he comes here, he's basically cultivated his qi. So, like, qi means energy. So qigong means, like, energy cultivation. So you're, like, working with, the prana, you say,
yeah,
in yoga.
Yeah.
And, but he's taken his to such a level that it's no longer, like, some kind of mythical thing or, like, some, you know, like, oh, energy, it's, like, a metaphor for your cellular metabolism, or it's the mind-body connected. He literally just makes electricity with his body. So his body has become like a car battery, and he just squeezes his abdomen, his lower abdomen is where he keeps this battery.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the dantian in Qigong, but usually we're just using it to like anchor the mind. But
is that like Uddiyana Bandha? Or
it's a lot like that. Yeah, he's like squeezing things around there. But he squeezes his abdomen to charge the battery, and then he holds your hands, and he just sends electricity up your body. And your whole body convulses. Like it's like when you're at the physical therapy, and they hook you up to the electrodes,
yeah. And
your muscles just twitch. It's basically like that, but you feel it. He sends it up like one acupuncture pathway at a time. Just he like wills it just where he wants it to go, and it goes up those pathways and burns away any blockages in them. And he did it to me, actually. He took his fingers and he stuck them in my belly button and he electrocuted my intestines.
And did that help you or hurt you?
Well, it felt like a snake was swimming circles in my intestines while he was doing it. But afterwards, the foods I couldn't digest before, I could digest all of a sudden. So I spent like a month where I could eat gluten, I could eat dairy, and like have bowel
went
movements.
Went to McDonald's every day for 30 days.
Yeah, we abused it a little too much. But so he was an interesting guy. And we had people coming through, like he was treating it like a clinic. So he'd come for like a month, and some people would come in, they'd have a really bad problem. Like we had a guy with ALS, which is where like your nervous system's falling apart or something. And so the whole left side of his body was paralyzed. And I knew this wasn't like a plant, you know, like a magician will have like a plant in the audience. They're just pretending to have that problem or whatever. But we'd known this guy for a year because he'd been coming in for acupuncture to my normal Qigong teacher. And we'd been kind of like keeping the ALS from killing him. Like he was supposed to live 6 months, but we'd kept him alive a year. But when this Qigong master came in, he electrocuted him every day for 30 days and gave him these herbs, which were like these like black balls. It looked like a ball of tar, where he said he had cooked the herbs with his qi for 90 days. So he put the herbs in a cauldron and like a witch, he
you know
like
how weird
hovered
that sounds,
over them
right?
Like, every day, just cooked the herbs with a bit of qi for like 5 minutes a day or something. And then they congeal into tar, and then you're supposed to take it as a pill. So he gave the guy these pills every day, electrocuted him every day for 30 days straight. And at the end of 30 days, the guy, he had so much movement back, he could tie his shoes with the hand that was paralyzed before. He could do fine motor skills.
My mind is blown.
He could walk normally again. We had another guy, too, who had necropathy. I don't remember what that's called. Necropathy in his leg. So it was like the nerves in his leg were falling apart. And he was walking again at the end of the 30 days too. So at least for nervous system stuff, it seemed to work really well. But
do you think Jesus was a Tai Chi master?
Sometimes I think things like that.
Okay. Oh, so fascinating. Can you perform any party tricks like that?
Not with electricity, but I can send like a subtler form of chi. So chi kind of divides into yin and yang, right? So the yang is like what this guy is doing. It's like electricity or fire, right? And the yin is more like water or magnetism. So the magnetism feels very different. It's super subtle. Some people are very sensitive, like Charity. My wife feels it all the time. She'll get the start of a cold or something or a migraine, and I'll just put my hands on her, and usually it literally only takes like 5 or 10 seconds most of the time. And I always feel exactly when it happens. I feel the chi click. It fills her chi bubble, like her aura. You feel it go in, and as soon as it goes in, she goes, oh, I'm all better. And it's so predictable every time. So definitely subtler, but...
How do you learn how to do that and then practice using your chi and then using your chi on people to help them with their ailment?
This is where I think a lot of people
in
qigong...
I don't know how to ask the question I want to ask.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. In the world of qigong, everybody wants to jump to the fancy stuff, like, oh, how do I make my hands so they can send healing energy to other people?
How do I
shoot the chi up like this specific pathway?
I think of senior citizens at the park doing slow karate.
Well, those senior citizens are most of my students, and a lot of the time, like the questions I get, like on YouTube, people are always requesting the same videos. They want to know the microcosmic orbit, which is like the qigong version of kundalini, and they want to know the healing hands technique. How do I heal people with my chi? How do I do it? And my answer to both is just keep doing regular qigong, because until you just build chi in your body, you're not gonna have any chi to send through your hands or anything. So just do qigong, and eventually you're just gonna notice like, oh wow, my hands are really warm after qigong, and then you're gonna feel, oh wow, it's not just my hands feel energy, but I feel like a little energy bubble around my hands. And then you're gonna notice when you like hug somebody that you're not just hugging them with your body anymore; you're embracing them with your whole energy field. And as soon as you feel that, you're already an energy healer.
Can you look at other people and be like, that's a healer? No. Does your chi tell you things like
that? I never
that?
See anything like that. Huh. I've had students, though. I've had students who were just like literally like a woman in her 70s who went through her whole life without doing anything esoteric, anything woo-woo. And she just started taking my qigong class because it felt good on her joints. And after a few months, at the end of class, she would like open her eyes for meditation and be like, oh my gosh, I see your aura. And she'd like suddenly be telling people what color the auras were. And so,
what color is your aura?
I think she said mine was aqua colored, which I'd been told before. So I think that might be a legitimate thing.
And what does that represent? The color of aqua?
Everybody tells different things.
Like, what do you hear the most? like the color of this pillow?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I didn't see it, but yeah, like a blue green.
So it's like tranquility, peace.
Yeah. In Chinese medicine, which is kind of the theoretical foundation of qigong, it would represent the energy of the liver, the qi of the liver, which is like the wood element. But that's not necessarily like why the aura is that color, but that's the only like color connection I can think of in Chinese medicine.
Okay, well, I have to ask you, what have you overheard at qigong or yoga?
Well, one thing I overhear all the time, I actually run a qigong teacher training program online. And I get a lot of people who were yoga teachers and then came to qigong, and a lot of them have the same story as me. So I always overhear like, oh, I was doing yoga and nobody told me to be careful, or I was trying to show off and I did this stupid thing and now I have to do qigong with all the old people.
Which is, oh my gosh. So I like work at the front desk at the yoga studio all the time, and all the time people come in and they're like, cycling accident, skiing accident, surgery, running, triathlon, like all my favorites. Tennis activities, I hurt myself and I'm healing and I can no longer do my favorite activity. Doctors want me to go to yoga. And so I didn't know that like there was a step below yoga, which I'm totally joking when I say
that. Yeah, it goes CrossFit, yoga, qigong.
Okay, so
it's fun. I think the thing with yoga and qigong is people go into them thinking, oh, this is a therapeutic exercise that can only do good for me. And then they're not very careful. And so qigong has the same problem. Like I had a teacher who's like a 20-something-year-old guy, and he's like kind of an internal martial arts teacher, which is kind of like Tai Chi and martial arts that are related to Qigong. And he's like teaching all this like really like hard forcing under of the tailbone, like really tucking your pelvis and all this kind of stuff that really makes sense if you're like 25, you've never had an injury, and you're more interested in martial arts than healing arts.
Right.
And this is how he's teaching Qigong. And I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't know you're supposed to do all this stuff. And so I'm doing everything he says. And then I'm like, oh, why do my knees hurt every time I'm doing this? And it really messed up my knees for a long time.
Oh my gosh.
So Qigong can have the same problems. Yoga, I think all these things can, they can, anything that can heal, I think can hurt because it was powerful enough to have a positive effect that power can go the wrong direction too, I think. So we all got to be careful in this stuff.
That's such a great point that you have, because you expect like, oh, how bad can this be? It's for healing. But actually, no matter what, you can hurt yourself if you do it improper.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you sell classes. Tell people how they can find you, connect with you, all the things.
Yeah. Best place is my YouTube. I have a huge video library. I go way out of my way. Charity will tell you I drag her to the ends of the earth to find stunning locations for my Qigong videos on YouTube. So that's all. A sweet like adventure across the American West to do Qigong in the mountains and the desert and the California coast and everything. And so that's really cool. And you can find things that are like really for you. So, you know, Qigong for low back pain, for anxiety, for digestion, for all that kind of stuff.
And they just go to YouTube and look up your name.
Yeah, just my name, Nick Loffrey. And then if you're interested, I do a teacher training and you can find that on my website and sell a few e-courses and that's there too.
Do you do any in-person stuff?
Not currently. The pandemic kind of killed all that for a while, but we'll see. I'm doing retreats.
Talk about your retreat. Well, tell
the
me
only
more.
One I have booked right now is all booked up. It's going to be here in Idaho in the mountains and in August, but we are planning to do some more in like Southeast Asia and stuff in the winter.
I want to learn the healing hands one. That's cool. Yeah. And what's the other trick that people always want to learn? I say trick, but you know what I mean.
The microcosmic orbit.
Shoot
energy up your spine.
That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on my little podcast.
Thanks
I appreciate you so much. It was so great to meet you. How long are you guys in Idaho before you ship off to Asia?
We're here till October 1st.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll have to like hit you up and we'll have to do this again, or I'll have to get you to come to the studio and teach a class.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard@.yoga.